Now, for our subject, and this will take us some time, our subject, spiritual health. Our text, 3 John, verses 1 and 2, with emphasis on verse 2. Spiritual health. There is much concern in the world today about health. Up to yesterday, I received some information. If you eat certain foods, including sugar, and leave out certain other foods, you'll be healthy. Everybody wants to be healthy. Buy this machine and exercise, and you'll be healthy. Go to this gymnasium 3 times a week. Build up the muscles and you'll be healthy. That's physical health. Our interest is spiritual health. How to be a healthy believer. 3rd Epistle of John, please. Verses 1 and 2. The elder unto the well-beloved Gaius, whom I love in the truth. Isn't that nice? An older man speaking to a younger, I love you in the truth. And I can without hesitation say that about a number of our young men here. I love you in the truth. It's been a joy to see you grow and develop in the truth, and the way you handle the Word of God. It's simply amazing. God bless you. Now, verse 2 is our text. Beloved, I wish above all things that you may prosper and be in health even as your soul prospers. That is to say, just as your soul is prospering, I wish your physical health were the same. We take it the opposite, don't we? As my physical health, I wish my soul would prosper. John says, oh no. As your spiritual health is prospering, I wish the same for your physical health. I wonder how many of us could do very much if our physical health were the same as our spiritual health. Quite an implication. And as I said, all sorts of diets, don't have too much cholesterol, don't have too much of this. Be sure to take this if you want to be healthy. And much research is going on in the world. It's amazing the things that they're doing and the things that, sometimes I smile, you know, much of this research isn't going to come to anything. And then these fellows are healed. They're the worst of all. Most of them, 90% of them are quacks. Don't be deceived by them. I was speaking one time in Brooklyn, and I happened to mention that there's a new thing. I don't remember the name of it, but you move your hand over the person, and if you do it right, the disease will come out. And a young sister said to me, you know, I'm taking a course in nutrition. And when the professor told us about this thing, about taking out germs with the movement of your hands, she said, I have to say to the Lord, I wasted my money. But this is what they're doing. And then there are all kinds of insurance plans. Insurance for this and insurance for the other. That's for physical health. But we want spiritual health. Now, before you can have physical health, you have to have spiritual life. Am I right? And before you have spiritual life, you have to be born. Is that right? And before you can have spiritual health, you have to be born spiritually. And let's just check that in John chapter 3. And remember, beloved, life is more than things. If you check carefully all the wealthy men in this country that have died, they've all died miserably. Things will not make you happy. I've told you, and I tell you again, about one of the most wealthy women in the world. She's an Asian, but she lives in England. Has a large estate. Beautiful house, I'm told. Do you know what surrounds the estate? A wall. And every 20 or 30 feet, she has a guard. And with the guard is a guard dog. Is she happy? Do you have all that around your house? And still you can be happy. Things do not make one happy. Let us read you. John chapter 3. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Now be careful, beloved, of miracles. Satan does them also. Be careful when you hear about these people doing these wonderful things. But they never do what the Lord Jesus Christ did. I don't know of one of them that made a blind man to see. And definitely I don't know of one of them that made a dead to live. So that what they do is not at all like what the Lord Jesus Christ did. But that's another subject. Let's read on. Rabbi, we know you are a teacher come from God. No man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. And Jesus said, Nicodemus, let's get down to the point. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus came, you know, courteous master. Nicodemus said, let's stop the nonsense, get down to the point. You need to be born again. And unless you are born again, you don't have spiritual life. Read on. I like verse 4. Nicodemus saith unto him, how can a man be born when he's old? How can Arthur Garnes be born at age 88? I'm going the other way. Can a man enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Well, if he enters the second time and be born, he'd be the same as the first time he was born. That doesn't help him. He'll be a sinner. Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That's your first birth. That which is born of the Spirit is Spirit. That's the new birth. Marvel not that I say unto you, you must be born again. Now turn with me, please, to chapter 1. Born again. Verse 6. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light that all men through him might believe. John was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light.
That was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. It was true then, isn't it true today? What are all these fancy colleges, all these advanced courses, and they talk about evolution. They don't know the law. Verse 11, he came unto his own received him not, but, oh, as our brother said, I like that. As many as received him, to give them gave he authority to become sons of God, even to them that were that believed on which were born. This is how you're born. You must be born again, which were born. Not of blood. It's not genetic. Oh, the boys are doing a whole lot with the genes, aren't they? Playing with them and doing some dangerous things. You'll never be born again through genetics. Born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh. The gurus, these fellows that say they're smart. You'll never be born again through that. Not in the will of man. You can concentrate and meditate as much as you want. You will not be born again that way, but to be born again is of God. It's a divine thing. Now turn with me, please, to 2 Corinthians. Chapter 13. Verse 5. And this is what we're going to do from this point on. Examine yourselves whether you are in the faith. We're going to take a test. See if we have been born again. Examine your own selves. Know you not that yourselves have that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobates. Except you fail the test. The word here says examine yourselves. Now we're going to take an examination to see if we have really been born again. I'm not going to ask any answers, but I would suggest that you jot down on a piece of paper the answers to these questions. Have I been born again? We're going to look at 6 items. The 6 items add up to 100%. How much does each question amount to? That's easy. You just 6, as we used to say, 6 into 100. That'll tell you how much each one is. Value. And if you will do that, you'll find that each question is equal to 16 2/3%. I see Craig shook his head, so I must be right. Good. Now for these 6 questions, as we examine ourselves, let's turn to the first epistle of John. Bearing in mind that we can't be healthy spiritually unless we are born again spiritually. John, First Epistle of John, chapter 2, verse 29. If you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of him. Do you do righteousness? Do you practice doing the right thing? Do you cheat? When you go to pay the man's little money, do you give him his full due? One of the proofs that one is born again is that he practices
doing the right thing. He doesn't cheat. Now, in all of the great schools in this nation, they have those that cheat. West Point, they're supposed to be the models of manhood. Well, they cheat up there too. We as believers should not cheat. Give the man 100% for what you've purchased. Don't cheat. Now, you mark yourself. Maybe you cheat once in a while, but you can't get full credit for that. Everyone that doeth righteousness is born again. One proof that you're born again is that you do the right thing. Second, chapter 3, verse 9. Oh my. Now this is very plain. Whosoever is born of God does not practice sin. How about it? You get full credit on that? Whosoever is born of God does not commit sin, for God's seed is in him and he cannot sin because he is born of God. When you were born again, you were born of God and God's seed was in you. That seed cannot sin. But that old seed, still with us, that one can sin. Now, beloved, what do you practice? The old life or the new life? Remember that whosoever practices sin is not born of God. Chapter 5, please. Verse 18.
We know.
I believe in the first epistle of John, you'll find, I think it's 26 times that you find the word know. We know. We know. We know. And this is one of the 26. Chapter 5, verse 18. We know that whosoever is born of God doesn't sin. Now, there are those who claim sinless perfection. I met such a lady some time ago. I don't sin anymore. That doesn't mean that, because you and I know much better than that. We sin in word, thought, and deed. So even if you don't do anything, our very thoughts. Have you ever had a wrong thought? I'm going to put it very simply. When you are in school and you are given a problem and you come out with the wrong answer, you have sinned. That's what it says. He that is born again doesn't practice sin in word, thought, or deed. Well, then how do you explain it? How do you explain this matter of the practice of sin? Chapter 2, verse 1. My little children, these things write I unto you that you sin not. You're not supposed to sin. But if any man sins, and why would he say that if believers didn't sin? We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. So that we cannot say we have no sin. We cannot say we have not sinned. But we can say we should not sin. He that is born again doesn't practice sin. And it can be very subtle, you know, beloved. Fast ways of making money.
Every week I get something in the mail. You have been accepted for so-and-so, and it's put aside for you if you will do so-and-so. That's gambling. Believers don't gamble. They don't practice sin. Now, check your record and see how you stand on this point. Now, chapter 4, verse 7. Now, hold that. We're going to get to that in chapter 4. But take 3 and 14. Chapter 3, verse 14. We know, another one of those knows, that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. Now, if you don't love me, there's a question in my mind whether you're saved or not. Don't look at me. It's right there. That's what it says. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. Do we love each other? And in this group, I really believe we do. I really believe we do. And evidence that we have been born again. Chapter 4, please. Verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another. Love is of God, and everyone that loves is born of God and knows God. You're born again, then you love. And if you don't, there's something wrong. Those who are born again, one evidence is that we love one another. Now that used to perplex me, because back in New York, there were some believers there, I tell you, they were hard to love. Hard to love. And did such strange things. But as I grew older, I learned the problem. It wasn't that I didn't love them, it was that I didn't agree with them. How about it? You may not agree with your brother, but that doesn't mean you shouldn't love him. Love him even when you disagree with him. A proof that we have been born again. Chapter 5, I should say. And I believe we will all pass this one. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. We all believe that, don't we? I mentioned on Wednesday night about a young girl, about 9 or 10 years old, and asked me to pray for her father. She said, my father believes in God, but doesn't believe in Jesus. He's born again. All of us who are born again, we accept Jesus as the very Son of God. And Son does not mean that God came first and Jesus came second. Doesn't mean that. Son in the sense that all the characteristics of God He possesses. And that brings up some nice things. Do you know that the Lord Jesus Christ was as old as his father? And older than his mother? Well, sure. He ever was. The father never had to teach him anything. The father never had to discipline him. Remarkable, isn't it? Not true of me. I needed a lot of discipline and a lot of teaching. But with our Lord Jesus Christ, it was not so. Whosoever that believeth that Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah, the one sent by God, God's very Son, is born of God. Chapter 4, please. Verses 2 and 3. And here is how you test many of these folks going around with strange beliefs. Jehovah's Witnesses. Turn to this scripture. chapter 4, verse 2, hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. Every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. This is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come. And not only with many of the various religious cults, even with those that stand up before the nation as great, as liberal preachers, watch them. I'll tell you a little something personal. This was many years ago in New York, at which time Martin Luther King Jr., he was a rebel. And it was my responsibility to conduct the men's Bible class. And his name came up. And there was a brother there who said, he is our deliverer. I said, what is he delivering you from? Well, they didn't like my approach. It happened that that same week, Martin Luther King was to speak at the graduation at City College. And one of the brothers there was a graduate. I said, when you go there to the graduation, make sure to go to him and ask him if he believes that Jesus was the Son of God. Everybody came. Full class next Sunday. Everybody. What was the answer? Did you ask him the question? What was Jesus and his relation to God? Yes, I asked him the question. What did he answer? He didn't say anything. You've got to watch these fellows preaching a social gospel. The Lord Christ didn't preach a social gospel. He preached cleansing from sin. And that's still what we need today. And all this social work and social work, there's a place for it. But that will not save the individual. And we who are born of God believe that Jesus is the very Son of God. He's the Christ of God. The Messiah. We go on. Chapter 5, verse 4. Whatsoever or whosoever is born of God overcomes the world. Are you overcoming the world? Or is the world sucking you in with its various devices? What is the world? When are you worldly? One Sunday morning, back in New York, I wore a tie which I thought was very nice. It was bright red, yes. And it had a little blue in it, you know. And the sister said to me, that tie is too worldly. How do you say a tie is worldly? That would be like saying a pair of shoes is worthy. Well, how do you know what is worthy? 1 John, everything is in 1 John today. Chapter 2. Verses 15 and 16. 16 will tell you what's worthy. Verse 15 of chapter 2. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Now, all that is in the world, and this applies to the world, all that's in the world, three things, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And these are the three things that Satan brought to Eve when he tempted her in the garden. And these are the three things that Satan brought to the Lord Jesus Christ when he tempted him on the mountain. That's all that's in the world. The lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the vain glory of life. appetite, avarice, and ambition. That's all. Pleasures, possessions, look what I have, and position, look who I am.
I'm going to quote you this one. Now tell me who wrote it.
Bread, booty, and bouquets.
Who wrote that one? Dr. Rhodes.
He's up there with the rest of them. They have their classification. He had his. Sensualism, materialism, and egotism.
And that's all that there is in the world.
What I have, who I am.
That's all.
Appetite, what I want.
And that's much the trouble in the world today.
Avarice, what I want.
Love, let's not go for what we want. Let's go for the will of God.
Appetite, what I want. Avarice, what I have. More, 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 more.
That's a good word.
Position. Oh my. Look who I am.
Do you remember what Satan said to the Lord? Fall from the temple. And the folks will see you and they say, oh my, he's somebody. And that's what we find in the world today. These men and now the women have joined them. We all want to be somebody. Look who I am. And for the most part, as far as I'm concerned, they aren't anything. They don't amount to very much. I was telling Brother George about one of my instructors. Oh, he was a brilliant man. I mean, he was a good servant. He was good. And he would often say to me, Garnes, the surgery is not in your fingers, it's in your brain. He's right. So when you have a loved one who's to be operated on, don't ask the Lord to help his hands. Ask the Lord to help the brain. That's where the surgery is. And then the brain directs the hand. And he was the one, I was telling Brother George, he stopped me one Sunday. I stopped at the hospital just to check on something and was going to the worship meeting and I ran into him. And he felt like talking. And he talked, Garnes, it's all chemistry. And when the chemistry is finished, that's the end. Well, now, he knew exactly where I stood. He knew why he said that. And then he was telling me, I believe that every young man should be in the army. I said, well, Doctor, why should he be? For the discipline. And I said, I've had enough of this. I said, Doctor, I don't believe the army could give any more discipline than my parents have given me in the home. And he stopped. Maybe you're right. He was another. He didn't believe that Christ was the Son of God. His idea was to go, was to get up. Self-ambition. And then one afternoon he died. That's going to happen to all of us. Either that or the Lord is going to come and take us. He died. And his funeral service was held in the largest church in the community, St. Philip's Church, by Bishop somebody, I don't remember his name. Do you know that Bishop somebody had him up in heaven? The man didn't believe in it. Pride of life. Thank God for us believers. We're not interested in the world and what the world offers. And to you young ones, be very careful. Don't let the world trick you into its bad habits. If you do so-and-so, you'll be so-and-so. I think it was Wednesday night we reminded ourselves of, I don't know why I keep getting his name, so I don't kill it. A learned man. Learned man. You know what I like best about Kelly? When he gave you his translation, he didn't read the King James Version. And he didn't read Darby, and he didn't read anybody else. He gave you his translation from the Hebrew into Greek. Now, he's pretty smart, isn't he? One day somebody said to him, Dr. Kelly, with all that you know, you could get somewhere in the world. Kelly asked, which world? You want to get up? Which world? Love, not the world. Those that are born of God overcome the world. They do not love the world. Chapter 5, verse 18. We know. When you go home, check all the we knows in the Bible. Do you know there isn't very much that we know? You don't know that much. Ask some of these folks with arthritis. You go to this one and that one and this. I have a relative of my wife up in New York. Severe arthritis. I spoke to her sister. I said, well, what does the doctor say? Oh, she's not being treated by a doctor. She's being treated by a nutritionist. All right? If you eat certain foods, the arthritis will go. So she ate the certain foods and the arthritis got worse. We don't know. We don't know many things, but there are things in this book that we do know. Chapter 5. Verse 18, we know that whosoever is born of God does not practice sin. You saw that before. But he that is begotten of God keeps himself, and that wicked one does not touch him. We are to keep ourselves from the world. Don't go in there to mix, to improve the world. The Lord Jesus Christ didn't do that. You don't improve the world by going in there mixing with them. I have a nephew, this also occurred many years ago, and he was telling me of his efforts to win some of his schoolmates. And he said, well, I was walking along with the fellow, I said, and he said, well, let's stop here and discuss the matter over a beer. How can you discuss the Lord Jesus Christ over a glass of beer? Doesn't make sense. That's the world. He feels that by drinking a beer with this fellow, the fellow will listen to it. Well, by the time he finishes the beer, he's so dizzy he doesn't know what was said. Don't let the world get you in its grasp. Then, the last one we read, 18. He that is begotten of God keeps himself, and that wicked one touches him not. Beloved, walk carefully in this world. Don't say, it won't happen to me. Whatever happens to anybody else can happen to any of us. Let's guard ourselves. Guard ourselves from the things that we see in the world. Oh, it's no harm. Just come in and be one of the fellows. That's what they used to tell me. Used to have scientific meetings, you know, go to scientific meeting, and they always have a little collation. Watch that word. You don't know what's in the collation. And I would come in, oh, here comes Garns. He only drinks water. Well, what's wrong with that? What's wrong with only drinking water? Then another would say, Garns, fraternize. Be one of the boys. Oh. And young folks, don't you be deceived with this idea that of peer pressure. You are a child of God and they are a child of the devil. They are not your peers. An unsaved person is not your peer. So don't talk about peer pressure. Your peers are those who are like you in Christ. Don't be led astray by these various fellows. What do you say? But I'm in the world. Yes. Well, how am I going to avoid the things in the world? Have you ever noticed on TV when they're about to operate, they put on a special gown and special gloves? Do you know what that's for? That's so that you won't be contaminated by the person that you're operating on. That's what that glove is for. To protect you. To save you from contamination. What the surgeon wants is contact without contamination. And that's what we as people of the Lord in the world. Contact, yes. How else are you going to preach the gospel to them? There must be contact. But don't let them contaminate. I'm 8 minutes over. I'm going to ask that you do a favor for me. And as we continue the subject, I will return the time. 240. And I must commend our sister here. I've watched her development, and now she's able to play for us. Isn't that nice? That's very nice. Well, we have another sister that plays. The Lord is blessing us. We have a brother that plays. And if you don't know it, we have a couple of brothers that sing well. I won't point them out. You listen for them. They sing a good tenor. And we have another brother. He's not here today. He sings what the Italians call a basso profondo, a deep bass. 240, ye must be born again.